because I need to find out who the wise people are and hang around them more. And so that's a great, hopefully in your mind you're starting to think that, and that's a good thing to start to think. And it says, but a companion of fools, and you might think, we'll be foolish. You know, if you walk with wise men, you'll be wise, and you walk with foolish people, you'll be foolish. It seems like that's the way this verse would end, but it ends darker. It says, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Shall be destroyed. So let's look at what this verse means. It seems like a warning to us, but at the same time, an encouragement to walk with wise men in your life. So I'm glad I have friends. I'm glad I have friends. Friends are great. I remember living down the street and my neighbor, they were up in years and they didn't, they knew fewer and fewer people. And sometimes people just kind of isolate themselves and kind of live their life. And I remember I would talk about the church I had here and they thought, boy, how you have real friends and you, wow. And they just saw it as such a treasure as I would tell them about the friends that I enjoyed. The Bible says, and just some introductory thoughts before we get into it, but Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Boy, you have fair weather friends, don't you? As soon as the trouble starts to come, they take off when the trouble moves in. But then the real friend, boy, they jump in when the trouble moves in. And I have lots of those. I'm so blessed. Now, what does that second part mean when it says a brother is born for adversity? At first you might say, oh, true dat. Seems like God gave us brother for competition, I guess. I mean, you're going to do something, he's your adversary. It might seem like the Bible is saying that, but it's not saying he's born to be your adversary. The brother is born to be there when adversity comes. When adversity comes and the brother comes and says, I'm with you, I'm with you. We've all laughed when we've seen kids on the playground, right? The brothers fight with each other until somebody's picking on the younger brother. And then the brother says, hey, no one treats him that way, except for me. But I tell you, a brother is born for adversity, and a Christian brother. Ah, that's special. A Christian brother, one who shares the same heavenly Father. Boy, they're born for adversity, the times when trouble comes in. And that Christian brother especially can come alongside. A friend loveth at all times. There's another verse earlier in that same chapter, Proverbs 17, verse 9. Here's an interesting truth about friends. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. So this is interesting. It talks about he that covereth a transgression. That's another one that at first you might say, what is that talking about? Yeah, that sounds right. A real friend is one that helps me cover up my sin and keeps it hidden. Is that kind of what it might sound like at first when it says, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love? That person that says, hey, I'll help you hide that sin from your parents. I'll help you hide that sin from the law. I'll help you hide that sin from your employer. No, that's not what it's talking about. In fact, this is a dangerous type of person. This is one of those fools you want to avoid because it just brings destruction. Someone that helps you hide your sin. Sadly, a lot of times I've seen that person that, I'm your friend, I'm the one that knows your dirty secrets. Sometimes it comes to where they begin to blackmail you. I know things about you, so you better toe the line. And you find that this person that you thought was your friend owns you to some degree. It becomes a little bit scary. So know that this person that he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, this is a person one commentator put it this way. This is the friend that does not advertise the faults of others. They're not going around blabbing their shortcomings. That's what this is talking about. A friend who thinks highly of their friends and acts like it. I don't know. Sometimes you... Again, husbands, be careful of this right here, where you're telling all the funny stories about your wife. It should be that when they talk to you, husbands, it should be the, oh, this is my wife and I cherish her. Here are the strengths that I value about her. Be one that is this right type of friend that builds up your friends, not all the silly shortcomings of that person. You know, who is this? Oh, I can tell you about that person. And then all of a sudden, every embarrassing story that ever happened to them, that's what the person gets to know. No, a real friend, I like it when you have those friends and they know how many times you've tripped up through the years, right? And somebody comes, this is my friend. And they start to tell that person wonderful things about you, and you just look at them and say, wow, what in the world? That's what you think of me? I mean, you know how many times I've tripped up in this life, and yet you're telling this person what an honorable friend you have. Wow. By the way, it kind of reminds us of the Bible, doesn't it? When you look in Hebrews chapter 11, and you know from the Old Testament how many times those guys tripped up, right? And there in Hebrews 11 talks about all these characters and speaks highly of them. That's a lot of fun to have a friend like that. But it says in here, it says, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. There's people that will use information to harm friendships. He that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. There are those that will, they feel the need to use what they know to ruin friendships, to manipulate other people. How sad. And it seems like schoolyard stuff, right? Seems like the kids that are like, are you my BFF? Today you're my best friend. That means that we're both against those people over there. And you know, it seems like schoolyard stuff, but adults get into using what they know to manipulate relationships. And I think probably all of you, we've all been through it, haven't we? When somebody comes up to you and something's not quite right and you're like, uh-oh, something's wrong with our relationship. And then you think, oh no, they were talking with that person over there. And the person's like, you know, sneering at you. You're like, oh no, that person has been, it seems like they've been poisoning what this person thinks they know about me. And again, those are rough times. And you say, Lord, if there's any truth to it, help me to deal with that. But Lord, they're slandering. There's dishonesty. There's gossip. There's slandering. There's manipulation. And boy, it hurts. You say, well, Lord, please help restore my character with that person. And then, Lord, help them to see through the slander. It hurts. There are people out there like that. What does the Bible say? He that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. And so maybe you say, boy, this is good. Friendship, this is wonderful. And I don't think I have very many of those wonderful friends you're talking about. Well, having real friends does involve some risk. You have to put yourself out there to some degree. The Bible does say in Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You are taking the risk. You are putting friendliness out there. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The last half of that verse, we know that's talking about Jesus. There's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And you say, well, how do I appropriately put myself out there to be that right kind of friend? Well, that last half of that verse kind of helps, doesn't it? How did Jesus put himself out there when he was down here walking amongst us? And the people said, look at him. He's a friend of even sinners. So we'll look at some of that even today. Jesus, the greatest friend of all. We'll look at some of that and close out with that even more next week. And I think a lot of parents have helped their children with this as well. Mom, Dad, no one's being friendly to me. I think we've had those conversations. Well, if you want friends, you have to take the initiative and show yourself friendly. Don't gripe that you don't have enough friends. But our verse, what did our verse say? He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. So in being friendly, in cultivating to yourself the right type of friends, we must be careful in this life who we are close to. This is the truth we'll be developing today and next week. We need to make sure we have the right kind of friends. So the sermon title, Walking with Wise Men. Walking with Wise Men. I need to have the right kind of friends. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray you be with this time as we look at your word. Thank you for that precious word, even as Brother John Hall talked about. I believe God's word is supernatural. And I believe it too. Lord, I pray that coming today wouldn't be the same as turning on the talk show during the week. Oh, I turn on the talk show and I hear a lot of words. Yes, you do. But coming to church, you hear special words. I pray that it'd be different than turning on sports radio or those things. Yes, you hear a whole lot of words. Yes, you do. But Lord, we're here today in church to hear special words from your word. I pray that you'd show us special things and help us, Lord, especially in this area of cultivating, curating to ourselves the right type of friendships. Help us as we look at these ideas. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So I want to look at three things. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So first, some preliminary assertions, some introductory statements that we get from this verse, some preliminary assertions. He that walketh with wise men. And so if God says, hey, find a wise man and walk with him, and then you'll be wise. So I think the one preliminary assertion is there are wise men out there. There are wise men out there. Identify them and walk with them. So our first statement, our first assertion, there are wise men out there. Find them and walk with them. And then secondly, the companion of fools will be destroyed. So the second assertion is there are fools out there. Identify them. And don't make them your companions. All right? So those are the preliminary assertions, a declaration. There are wise men out there and fools out there. How do we identify them? And then how do we tell them apart? And so since we have those assertions, then the second thing is there are proper associations. If there are different types of people out there that I could hang out with, I should avoid the one and be sure to walk with the other. So I need to work on having proper associations. And then the last thing is, depending on who you walk with, that will affect the person that you are. So we see there are powerful alterations depending on who you walk with. If you walk with wise people, wisdom will rub off on you. Isn't that exciting? That's good. There's a powerful alteration. You will be you, and then suddenly you'll be more wise. I say suddenly. It will take some time. But the Bible does say that the companion of fools will be destroyed. Your life will be altered. There are powerful alterations in who you are, depending on who you go around this life with. So we'll look at those first two today, preliminary assertions, proper associations, and then next week we'll look at those powerful alterations. So you have to come back next week and see how it all ends. All right, so those preliminary assertions. If the Bible says walk with wise men so you can be wise. There must be wise men out there. Who are they? How can I identify the people to walk with? And if the Bible says there are fools out there, make them your companion and you'll find destruction. Well, who are they? How can I identify them? And there's a lot that Proverbs has to say about the fool. And we won't go through, it could be a several week study, just that. So our preliminary assertions. First of all, let's start with there are fools out there. There are fools out there. And if I make them my companions, the Bible says there will be destruction. So in the book of Proverbs, fool is translated from four different Hebrew words. And so let's look at those real quickly. Proverbs speaks of four different types of fools. The one in our text is kasil. Kasil. It has to do with being slow or dull. Even the word is even associated with a fatness. A fatness associated with really whatever my body craves, I give it, regardless of the consequences. And there's a foolishness to living that way of that type of life. Solomon, he in the book of Ecclesiastes, he started living life like, well, if my body craves it, I'm going to say yes. It's like, well, aren't there some things to say no to? I don't care. If my body wants it, I just give it what it wants. And it seems like that's the path to joy in this life. And Solomon, of course, so he said this in Ecclesiastes 2:10, that first half, whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not from my heart any joy. There's a foolishness to that. Because there's consequences. When your eyes desire something, when your body craves something, you have to say, okay, am I allowed to say yes? Or should I say no? There are good things for me, there are bad things for me, and my flesh does not know the difference. There's going to be a time where the wise person says, absolutely not. The fool, the kasil fool, is one that's slow or dull. There's no reasoning. No regard for consequences. And this is the one that's in our text here in Proverbs 13, verse 20. A second type of fool is even worse. And by the way, if they're worse, then they're even more to be avoided. It's like, okay, so there's another type of fool that I can't hang around. No. These are getting progressively worse. Another type of fool in the Bible, the eel. This person deliberately goes against what God wants in his word. Doesn't care if something is sinful or not. That person might say this, oh, you call it sinful? Well, those labels have to do with how he sees things. And I'm not really interested in how he sees things. I'm interested in how I see things. That's what matters to me. Oh, there's a foolishness. There's a foolishness to living that life. One day we're going to stand before God and he's going to judge us based on how he sees things and the fact that he put how he sees things in this Bible. So we'll be judged thereby. The foolish person says, I don't really care how God sees things. I live how I see things. And then that same fool will despise wise counsel or rebuke. Somebody will come up and say, hey, this, I've seen this in your life and it concerns me. It doesn't seem right. It's like, well, mind your business. Don't you have somebody else to pester? That's a foolish person. Beware of that in your own life because we all have a bit of fool inside of us, don't we? We have that heart that lies to us and tells us awful things. So this fool, you see an example of him in Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool, that's this Eviel. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Do you see that? So, well, I did it because it seemed like it made sense to me. But you know it doesn't make sense to God. I don't care all that much. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Another verse here, Proverbs 15:5, says, a fool, this is that the same one, a fool despiseth his father's instructions. Again, it goes, part of the way God shows you how he sees something is how your parents train you. That's part of it. And so when dad says, hey, this isn't right, well, okay, you're welcome to your own opinion. That's fine. You see it that way. Good for you. I see it differently. Beware that spirit. That's this one. And he despises his father's correction. Proverbs 15:5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Prudent. So again, if we're supposed to avoid and not make a companion this Kasiel fool, then for sure this Eviel fool as well, there's a third, the Nabal type fool. And Nabal, that should ring a bell. In 1 Samuel 25, there was a man whose name was actually Nabal from this word Nabal. He was the husband of Abigail. And so Nabal is a type of fool in the Bible. He's a step beyond even the Eviel fool. He seems to add a certain arrogancy on top of his disregard for God's viewpoint. This one is only found once in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 1 verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. This person might say, others can fear God. I don't care what he thinks. I want to live a life in such a way that everybody knows that I don't care what he thinks. That's a dangerous additional level, a layer to this foolishness. And we saw that with Nabal. And we saw that he died in his foolishness at the end of 1 Samuel 25. There's a last type of fool, and Pethi. This man is naive, gullible. He lacks the sense to explore the facts. Here's a person that just goes with whatever suits his fancy. He's like, oh, really? and just a naive, gullible person. And in fact, the Bible says to don't spend a lot of time with this person either. It says in Proverbs 9:6, this type of fool, forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. Oh, the gullible around us, right? They're so excited about this new, strange thing that they've discovered. And you're like, oh, I want to tell them. I remember there was a fella years ago that he's like, you know how last week I was telling you how awful my life was? Yes. Well, things are about to turn around. I'm like, praise the Lord. You've been studying the Bible. You're going to be coming to church. He's like, no. I saw an advertisement for these magic crystals. And so I bought them, and so I mean, I'm virtually guaranteed that with these magic crystals, I will win the lottery. So when that happens, I will be generous. I pay off the debts of all my family, but I will be moving as well. And I'm like, okay, see you next week. this person is naive and gullible, but even this, all of these characteristics of these different types of foolishness, the Bible says, be careful not to have these folks as your companions. So there are foolish people out there. There are fools out there. And when they're your companions, it will cause you to be altered, influenced, and destruction is the end of that path. But there are also wise men out there. And what do they look like? I'm glad that there were wise men in my life. And I didn't always appreciate them. My dad was a wise man. He honored what God had to say in the Bible. And as a son, I didn't always appreciate a dad who was wise. I didn't always appreciate a mom who was wise. I didn't always appreciate a pastor who would tell me that my way wasn't the best way. His way was. Again, you say, I don't like coming to church. They don't tell me the value of my way. Again, that's the true friend. And praise God for wise people in my life that told me his way is best. His way is the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the only way. There are wise men out there. We could do a whole study on Proverbs and look at just wisdom and wise, but I want to jump to the book of James real quickly. Some people call James the Proverbs of the New Testament. The Proverbs of the New Testament. We get an idea about these wise people in the book of James. We can go to James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. And there's the wisdom of this world, but then there's a wisdom that only comes from heaven. There's a wisdom that only comes from heaven. And so the wisdom of this world, it's different. The wisdom from heaven is supernatural, and God shows us his wisdom through his word. But let's look at these different types of wisdom. James 3, verses 13 through 18. Who is a wise man? Yes, that's the question. I want to walk with a wise man and be wise. Yes, thank you. It's right there. That's what I was wondering. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Who's a wise man? There it is, James 3, 13. Who is a wise man? And endued with knowledge among you. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But, verse 14, there's a different kind of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envyings and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the other. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly. But there are some things down here that are going to make sense if down here is all that there is. But my friend, down here isn't all that there is. It's earthly, sensual. What makes sense to the cravings of my flesh, my senses, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But, verse 17, back to this other wisdom. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. There's a genuineness, there's a kindness, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Oh my, the wise person is one that makes sure he has that wisdom, not from down here, but that wisdom from up there. And by the way, if you don't have that wisdom, James also tells us how to get it, right? James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, and that if is more of a since his viewpoint, the way he views things, that's wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, he scolds not, right? Sometimes mom and dad, you're busy and and the kid's like, mommy, can I have mommy? Leave me alone. Can't you see I'm in the middle of something? But all of us can say, Heavenly Father, I need wisdom. And he'll never smack our hand away and say, leave me alone, I'm in the middle of something. In fact, instead of bothering him, when we say, Heavenly Father, it honors him to say, I need wisdom from on high. What I think I know is no good. I want to know what you know. What do you see? Oh God, I'm going to open your word and study. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to listen to the preaching. Oh God, show me what you think. That's a wise person. Do you know someone like that? Brother Hall just said, oh, God's word is supernatural. And I've been doing extra to make sure. That's an indication of someone that you want to have someone like that as one of your friends. Someone that says, oh, I need what's in this book. Oh, I need what's in this book. I need God's word. I need God's wisdom. Heavenly Father, that's a wise man. Walk with that person. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. The wise person is humble enough to say, I need wisdom. And so he's asking God. The wise person finds out what God thinks, and then he orders his life around those things. He obediently does the things that matters to God. James 1:22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. When God shows you the way he views things, you order your life. You change your life in accordance with what he sees. The wise man is one that humbly looks to the Lord for his viewpoints and lets that guide his life. Back to Proverbs, Solomon talks about wisdom. And I won't spend a lot of time here, but Proverbs 4, verses 5 through 9, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all that getting, get understanding. The wise person is one that says wisdom is the principal. If God says wisdom is the principal thing, then wisdom's the principal thing. I'm going to pursue wisdom like I should. That's a wise person. The wise person is the one that's listening right here. The unwise person is saying, how much longer before I get to leave? This doesn't interest me. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Can I tell you what a wise person looks like? Someone whose life indicates that they fear God. Do you know anyone like that? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We know lots and lots and lots of people in this world, don't we, that live a life without any fear of God. But wisdom, being a wise man, begins. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. And by the way, if you have no beginning, there's no middle and there's no end. There's no wisdom there. It starts with the fear of God. Do you know someone who lives a life like they fear God? That's the type of friend you want. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. A wise person is one who lives with reverential awe of God and orders his life around those things that matter to him as laid out in God's word. This is the friend you want. By the way, that friend won't encourage you in everything, will they? When you're doing wrong, that right type of friend will say, hey, that's not right. That's not pleasing to God. That's the type of friend you want. Proverbs 27, verses 5 through 7. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. One that will push you toward the things of God and away from those things that dishonor God. That's the right type of friend. That's a wise friend. Do you know someone like that? Make that person your friend. And are the people you hang around with different than that? Ask God to help you change that. All right, so we looked at preliminary assertions. If the Bible says he that walketh with wise men, there must be wise men out there. And we identified what they look like. And it says the companion of fools, there must be fools out there. We identified that too. So secondly, we'll finish with this today, proper associations. Proper associations. Since there are various types of people that we could hang out with, the Bible tells us we should avoid the one, not making the foolish person my companion, and be sure to walk with the other. Listen to this verse. Proverbs 24, verse 1. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Neither desire to be with them. Why is Solomon warning us not to want to desire to be with evil men? It must be that there's a part of us that thinks it's cool to be with evil men, to desire to be with them. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. In some ways, they make God dishonoring things look cool. And you're like, oh man, I want to be a part of that. And God says, don't. Be not thou envious of evil men, neither desire to be with them. Again, you'll have the young person that says, look who I'm comfortable with. I can run with the big dogs of worldliness, and I can keep up. That's not a thing to be proud of. Don't disobey the Bible here. Don't be envious of evil men, neither desire to be with them. Another verse talking about associations, a steering clear of certain types of people. Proverbs 29:24. Whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul. So it's like, hey, I'm going to do this wrong thing. Are you with me? Sounds awesome. Yeah, let's do it. Whoso is partner with a thief, partner or friend or companion or whatever, right? Whoso is partner, this is Proverbs 29:24, is a thief, hateth his own soul. He heareth cursing and bewrayeth it not. Bewrayeth has the idea he doesn't reveal those things. There's a reason why they say there's no honor among thieves, right? A man who will rip off others won't mind ripping you off either. And then, the last half of that verse, he bewrayeth it not. It's not like he can turn them in, right? How funny a phone call would that be? You're like, hello, police? Yeah. So me and this other guy, we stole. And I mean, we were in it together. I mean, we went full-blown pinky promise and all. And we agreed. I mean, an honorable agreement that when it was over, we each would get 50% of the take. Well, turns out he disappeared with all of it. And so that doesn't seem right, does it? Can you go arrest him? There's no recourse. You're like, he that is partners with a thief hateth his own soul. And then three verses later, Proverbs 29, verse 27. And by the way, it's not saying, this verse isn't teaching you to, I can't stand. You know, if you're a Christian living a life of, I can't stand ungodly people. It's not teaching that. It's just saying, it's kind of a way, it's just a fact of life. That people who are living for the Lord are going to be, there's going to be a disgust for the lifestyle that opposes God and vice versa. It's just a matter of fact. It says here in Proverbs 29:27, the unjust man is an abomination to the just. The person that lives an ungodly life, the just person is like, what in the world? That makes no sense. And the opposite is true too. Listen to this. And he that is upright in his way is abomination to the wicked. It's just making a statement there. Between the godly and the ungodly, there is a natural disgust for the life of the other. It's like, what are you doing? Both of them look at the other and say the same thing. Maybe the ungodly watched you guys coming to church today. I'm like, what in the world? That makes no sense. They're going to give up their part of their weekend to go and sit and have some guy yell at them the whole time. That makes no sense. Person's what a weirdo. But then, on Friday night, where we're enjoying things, you're driving, and that person in front of you is pulling into the bar for their Friday night of carousing. You're like, what in the world? What are they doing? There's no joy there. Oh, there's going to be emptiness, and then tomorrow morning, it's going to all be regret and emptiness and sickness from the hangover. What are they doing? And it just says that there's going to be a natural separation in the life of the unjust person with the just, because they look at the other and say, what are you doing? It should be that way. Is it? Your friends, who are they most comfortable around? Are they looking at the just person like, what are they doing? Or are they looking at the unjust person and saying, oh, Lord, help them. When will they wake up? There's no joy there. There's no happiness there. The Bible tells us in Galatians 5:17, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. There's this constant war of flesh versus lust. All right. So we've looked at preliminary assertions. There are fools out there, and it makes sense to know biblically who they are and not to make them your companion. There are wise people out there. It makes sense biblically to know who they are and spend time with them. Spend time with them. And then we looked at proper associations. Don't desire to be with those evil men. And the Bible tells us not to, because there's a part of us that's going to want to. It's going to seem cool to be with the James Deans, those rebels without a cause from way back in the day. But the Bible says don't be drawn into those things. Next week, we will look at the last thing. Powerful alterations. We want to see, what is it? What is the change we want in our life? And one way that we can see that change is who we hang around. Walking with wise men to be wise, and not walking with foolish people and seeing that destruction. Let's pray.